Do you know when and how people solicit sex online? Answer, from a study of two local groups working to end sex trafficking, the soliciting happens most commonly at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a work computer.
I saw that stat, and of all of the stats that struck me, that one just did, my jaw hit the floor, and I just couldn't stop looking at that. Wow, I had no idea.
Michael Schutzler heads the Washington Technology Industry Association. It's a trade association for Washington's tech community. He's worked in tech for 30 years as an entrepreneur and an angel investor, and Schutzler told me he never knew it before. But the tech industry is supporting the demand for sex trafficking here in more ways than one.
The vast majority of the transactions are now taking place online. So they're using the folks in this trade, this industry, the pimps and those that they're trafficking, are using the internet to not only market the folks that are being prostituted, but they're also conducting their financial transactions on the internet. So they're using our technology that we built for creating this awesome new world. And so we feel both a right and an obligation to keep that part, you know, cleaned up. And but the thing that really strikes me at the heart of this, and why we felt it imperative that the tech industry take a leadership stance on this, is that an order of magnitude larger than any other demographic of the buyers of sex trafficked women, these are women forced into prostitution, are white guys earning over 100K.
Working in the tech industry?
Well, not any more or less than anywhere else. It's white guys making money, so because they have the disposable income for this. So think about that. What's the core demographic of the tech industry? It's predominantly male, predominantly white, and really well paid.
Workers or customers?
Workers,
or both.
Right?
So, workers,
yes. So if you think about it, the overlap of the problematic demographic, which is the buyer of trafficked women, has a huge overlap with the demographic of the people working in the tech industry. Statistically, the tech industry isn't any worse than any others. I mean, there's as many people in the tech industry as there are in retail or in manufacturing that are engaged in this, but it's such a close correlation to ours that we believe that it's imperative that we take a leadership stance to say, okay, this is a problem. Let's make everybody aware about it. Now let's fix it.
So what are you asking your tech company members to do?
So first of all, almost nobody's aware that there's even a problem. So the very first thing that we had to do is create an awareness that, first of all, did you know? And the stat that, you know, we talked about earlier, which is, did you know that the vast majority of these transactions are taking place at your work premises at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on your work computers? So creating awareness is the first thing. Second step after that is, surely you don't want that taking place on your company property. Surely you don't want that taking place in your work environment. And at the very least, create a policy that says it's unacceptable. And, you know, if you're
do most tech companies not have policies that say this
no,
is unacceptable?
Of course not.
Because really?
it's not an awareness. I mean, you don't even realize it's going on.
Now, okay.
As a result of this data coming out, we had about 60 different tech leaders in the room, and, you know, comfortably 58 of them, almost everyone put their hand up at the end of the event, committing to putting a policy in place that says, well, you know, you can't get stoned at work, you can't get drunk at work. And you shouldn't be doing this at work either. Now, some are going further than that and saying this is actually unacceptable at all. So if you're engaging this at any place, whether it's on work or not, this is not something we want as part of our work culture. So some are even more courageous and making it a company policy.
A fireable offense.
A fireable offense, exactly. Yeah.
Give me an idea where you are in your compared to your ideal of Washington State tech companies helping crack down.
We've got some great examples. Sort of at the really big company level, we got a company like Microsoft that's investing tens of millions of dollars a year in combating the dark web and working with the FBI and local prosecution to essentially clean up the engine of the systems that make all of this stuff work. You have other organizations that are local here in Seattle that are working on identity protection and security. And also the inverse of that is making sure that, you know, the police are able to figure out, you know, where are the bad guys, and doing some more supportive work with the police. But for the most part, the tech industry as a whole is completely ignorant of this issue, and that it's not just something that's going on in some third world country or in some, I don't know, rough neighborhood in Seattle. It's happening at work. And so if this takes place on your work, on your work premises, you got at least three really big problems as a tech company. The first is you're creating an awful culture that there are going to people in that company that are not only just going to take offense, they're going to leave your company. And tech workers are really hard to recruit and really hard to retain. So you don't want to lose them over something like this. Two, your brand and reputation is going to get damaged, because if you've got an employee that's running a sex trafficking operation as a pimp, or you have employees that are purchasing sex and transacting in sex at work and get arrested on that, you're going to be front page news.
So, okay, so I'm a listener, I'm a consumer. You expect me to hold the company responsible? What should a listener do with all this information?
Well, the listeners should take heart in the fact that the tech industry is aware of it and is going to do something about it. We have, like I said, one of the reasons why we're focused on this is that we're doing our darndest to clean up the tech and using tech to combat this. But this is actually a human challenge. This is not a tech issue.
Right.
And so working on this as a part of what kind of cultures are we creating in our workplaces? What kind of values do we have as an industry? What are we doing to help solve this problem? And being active in every aspect of creating education about this, to creating policies. And I think maybe the most significant impact that we can make is to focus on the really fundamental root issue here. There are women who are in this trade, if you will, because they don't have another job. And so we're the biggest job creator engine in the state of Washington. So focusing on helping women get jobs, and in particular, this particular class of women get jobs, can help as well. And so now that we know about it, now that we have the support of other organizations and we can focus on it, we are committed to taking an active role in helping solve the problem.
Michael Schutzler, CEO of the Washington Technology Industry Association, says he's been meeting with tech companies here enlisting their help in ending sex trafficking. That includes creating workplace policies to stop employees from using work time and computers to find and pay for prostitutes.